The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After he had fed the people, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him in reply, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught Peter and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And welcome back once again, everybody. Little tiny thought for you here for the week. You know, there's an old saying that goes, "What you sow, you will grow." That's your little thought for the week. What you sow, you will grow. What that means is that whatever you give your heart's attention to, you get more of it in life. What you sow, you will grow. It's money that you want. Give it your effort, give it your attention, and you'll get more of it. If it's a relationship that you want to build back up, you know how it is with relationships. They thrive in carefree timelessness. Give it your effort, give it your attention, and it'll grow. Downside, of course, is that that works for bad things just as well as it works for good things. This is why we don't give in to thoughts of anger, thoughts of criticism, thoughts of cynicism and bitterness. Why? Because if you give your heart's mind and attention to it, you get more of it. What you sow, you will grow. Now, what we need in these chaotic, turbulent, and unpredictable times, what we need more of is confidence. The confidence and peace that only God can give. And what I want to tell you here today is, if you sow it, you'll grow it. Because God is more present to you than you are even imagining. And our growth and our healing comes when we are present to Him in return. Now, that's the message that you got here in your first reading from the first book of Kings, one of the greatest stories in the Bible from the great prophet Elijah. Now, unfortunately, what you heard in the first reading was just a snippet of a much, much larger story. So I thought I'd give you some of the context, just so you could appreciate what it is that you heard. Elijah, in our first reading, he's on the run for his life. The Queen of Israel, Queen Jezebel, has a death warrant on the head of Elijah because he has been zealous and faithful to God, and you know, it's gotten him into a lot of trouble. Elijah could turn up to heaven at this point and say, "God, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." He's discouraged. He's depressed. He's completely spiritually, emotionally, and mentally exhausted. Elijah wants to quit. In fact, he even prays that God will just end his life. So what Elijah decides to do, he decides to go to the mountain where God first spoke to Moses in the hopes that maybe God will speak to him as well. And that's where your first reading begins, okay? Goes up onto the top of that mountain, hides in a cave, and there's three things that Elijah sees. He sees first a strong, heavy wind rending the mountains and crushing the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, it says there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the earthquake and the wind and the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. And Elijah recognized in that the quiet presence of God. You go back to the ancient world, you look at their fables, you look at their stories, you look at their myths, you'll find human fears summarized in three ways: storms, fires, and earthquakes. What Elijah realizes is this tiny whisper of God, his presence. It's more powerful than all of those things. And once he realizes that, he gives his mind and his heart's attention to it, and you know, it changes his life. He's at peace, he's calm, he leaves that place, and he goes back to work in the vineyard of the Lord. That's the lesson we need to learn as well. And you know what? The hallmark of a prayerful soul is that in spite of the noise and the discord and all the violence and everything's happening in the world around us, in spite of all that, they manage to hear the whisper. That's the hallmark of a contemplative soul. That's what we need. Elijah knew it. St. Peter would learn it here in the gospel, this beautiful story. They're out there in the middle of the lake in the fourth watch of the night. Now, in the Jewish world, the night was divided into four watches. Each was 3 hours long. So from 6 to 9 p.m., that was the first watch of the night. And then from 9 p.m. to midnight, that was the second watch of the night. And then from midnight to 3, that was the third watch of the night. So it's after 3 a.m. when the storm whips up on the Sea of Galilee. Metaphor, of course, for all the troubles that come to us in our lives at the darkest possible hour. And the apostles are used to being out there in the middle of the night on the lake. That was the best time for fishing. But suddenly, they see Jesus walking towards them on the water. That's one thing they were not used to seeing. And they're terrified. So immediately Jesus cries out. He says, "Don't be afraid. It's me." You know, the actual word that Jesus uses here in the Gospel of Matthew when he tells the apostles that it's him, he says, "Don't be afraid. I am." The Greek is ego eimi, I am. You want to know why that's important? Do you remember the story of Moses from the book of Exodus where he sees God in the burning bush? It's the first time Moses ever sees God. This bush is burning, but it's not consumed. And Moses goes to the bush and he realizes it's the presence of God. He turns to God and he says, "Tell me your name." And God says, "My name is I am." That's what Jesus says here to the apostles in the middle of their storm. I'm with you. God is with you. At the moment you least expect it, don't be afraid. And then the most important thing of all, Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking to Jesus on the water, with the lesson being that as long as he keeps his attention fixed on the Lord, he is stronger than the storm. When does he begin to sink? He begins to sink when he looks around him and he realizes the wind and the waves and the violence and the trouble. He takes his eyes off of the Lord, and that's when he starts to go down. Question for you here today. Where is Peter safer? Is he safer in the boat? Or is he safer out there walking on the water? Now, think about it for just 2 seconds and you know the answer. I don't care whether that's the sturdiest boat ever made by the hand of man. Nothing's stronger than the protective power of God. He's safer out there on the water. And as it is with St. Peter, so it is with you and me. Where do we want to keep our minds, hearts, and attention and our focus? in the midst of the storms of life, we want to keep it right on the Lord. It'll make us stronger than the storm. Now, of course, the question becomes, how do we do that, right? How do we do that? Well, the answer is, it's the whole of the spiritual life. There's no single trick. It's the whole of the spiritual life. But can I give you just three little pointers, like three tiny little ways that all of us can practice the presence of God? Three things. Number one, get your soul into a state of grace and stay there. If you want to know the presence of God, the very first thing we want to do is to be in a state of grace. The quickest way to lose God's presence is to sin and to not repent. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? So if you fall, get up and go to confession again, but get your soul into a state of grace and stay there. It's the single best thing we can do to keep our heart's attention fixed on the Lord. Secondly, pray, but don't just pray, pray more. There's a couple fixed times in the day that everybody should be praying. I don't know whether you're doing this or not, but you ought to. In the morning and in the evening. Very first thing that happens to you in the day, you fall to your knees, you get down on your knees, and you offer that day to God. It needs to be a habit. And then in the evening, the last thing you do before the day ends, get down on your knees, give the entire day to God's mercy, and all of your future to God's providence. Let it be a habit. And then, throughout the day, be in a habit of talking to the Lord about all the things that go on 1,000 times a day. Turn off the music. Put down the phone. Turn off the screen. Talk to your Heavenly Father all day long. Share everything with Him. Pray, but don't just pray. Pray more. You will learn to make a habit of practicing God's presence. Third thing is to practice gratitude. You want to know why gratitude? It's because there's no better way to express your faith than to turn to God and say, thank you. When you thank God, you're showing your faith in God. St. Paul, he says, give thanks to God in all circumstances. That's a really good habit to get into. Lights turn green, driving down the road, give thanks to God. Road clogged with traffic, give thanks to God. Enjoying good health today, thanks be to God. Stuck in bed with a fever, thanks be to God. Things going well in your life, things going well in your family, thanks be to God. Having trouble, having conflict, thanks be to God. He's got a plan in all of it. One of my favorite quotes on this comes from, was a priest in Detroit. His cause is open for canonization. You might have heard of him. Blessed Solanus Casey. And I won't tell you his whole story right now, but just his idea. He said, thank God ahead of time. That's what he said. Just thank God ahead of time. When you come to the hour of, you know, last judgment and you see all the things God's done in your life and you realize all the reasons why everything that's happened to you has happened, you will fall to your knees and you will thank God, but just beat the curve and thank Him now. Practice gratitude and you will practice the presence of God. What you sow, you will grow. Choose to give your mind and your heart's attention to God, and He will heal you and strengthen you to make you the blessing that you're supposed to be to all the people who know you, to all the people who depend on you. Faith is a choice, ladies and gentlemen. Fear is a choice, too. Choose wisely. Not so that we can have an easy life, but rather because God will make us strong people. And that is why, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.